Happy Wednesday and welcome to WWT Live. On today's show, we're in a new era, folks. All kinds of new things are happening. What happens after the biggest WrestleMania of all time? Find out next.
What's up, y'all? It's the Big Flexer, Alexis Littlefoot, and you are tuned into Women's Wrestling Talk, period.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Well, it is a Wednesday and there is plenty to get into. Happy Wednesday, good people. My name is Gerard Bonner, aka The Professor, and you are locked into WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I hope you guys are having an absolutely amazing day. And there is plenty to discuss today. You know, pro wrestling has more than one royal family, but does not have an off season. So because there's no off season, there is always something going on. What would happen after WrestleMania? We've got the Raw after Mania, the NXT after Mania. And then there are other things going on in the wrestling world, believe it or not. We're going to get into all of that. But I am not alone. My partner in crime, who rocked on the road and kind of got a baptism by fire with all things WrestleMania, is joining us. Wrestling with Honey is in the building. How are you, sister?
I am fantastic. As I said earlier, I'm a little bit more rested than I was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I was so exhausted. I completely forgot about the Monday show and I was passed out. I was like, oh no. It's still Monday. There's still work to be done.
Yeah.
But Boss Lady was gracious enough to just pass it on by. She was like, girl, I figured you're good. Yep. Yep. It was a crash course this weekend, to say the least. So I caught up on my rest.
Good for you. And so, yeah, you know, it feels like we're kind of in this afterglow of all things WrestleMania. And yeah, we had the Raw after Mania. We had NXT last night. You know, surprises, all kinds of craziness happening. And we're going to get into all of it. Shout out to Dylan, who is joining us. Boza is joining us as well. And we're going to get into all of this. But what we want to do first is talk about WrestleMania. Like, the numbers are in. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, we had our post show for night one and night two. If you guys have missed that, go back on our YouTube channels, or if you're listening, check out our podcast so you can check that out. But the numbers are in when it comes to WrestleMania. And these numbers, you've probably heard some of them from, you know, Triple H or various and sundry places on the socials, but let's try to digest some of these numbers. So for one, the actual gate at WrestleMania, that is the amount of money brought in via ticket sales solely. It broke last year's record for WrestleMania 39, not by a little bit, by 78%. That's insane. That's literally like doing double the amount of money you did the year before at the gate alone. Crazy. Viewership was up 41% across both nights compared to WrestleMania 39, which is crazy. Merchandise sales were up more than 20% compared to what happened at WrestleMania 9. And I happen to hear that this is just a mind-boggling number here. Cody Rhodes, his merchandise alone, did $1 million over WrestleMania weekend. That $1 million in merch.
You want to talk about whoa, indeed. That's a big
right.
Cody Rhodes whoa right there.
Right. $1 million in merch. We could probably stop right there. But there's more. Obviously, sponsorship was incredible. We had the first ever ring mat sponsorship, and we saw all the sponsorship that was there. The WWE World, which used to be Access, it is the highest grossing and most attended fan event in WWE history. Sheesh. And wow. Being there, you could understand why. They spared no expense. It was crazy. In terms of socials, it was the most socially viewed WrestleMania of all time. Over 660 million views over those 2 days. Their YouTube channel was the most viewed day in the history of WWE's YouTube channel. More than 67 million views in a 24-hour space on WrestleMania Sunday, which is crazy. Both SmackDown, actually SmackDown, Raw, and NXT had their biggest gates ever. Stand and Deliver was the most attended NXT event of all time. What do we say about these numbers?
I mean, it seems like the more you go on, the more it speaks for itself. It's like, we really don't have to elaborate. Like, if you're not a fan of pro wrestling, like we've been for 30 plus years or less, you would have pretty much missed the ship, you know, if you were never a fan. But if you're a casual fan that just turned into a full-time fan, this is a good time to do it, because it's outdone every other WrestleMania done before this.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this is the 40th WrestleMania. You think about how large, how big of a spectacle it was back then, all the way leading up to now. And to seeing what it has become is just groundbreaking. And it's something they should all, everyone back there from production to talent to corporate, should be very proud of themselves, because they completely outdid themselves this weekend in all aspects of WWE world, with NXT Stand and Deliver, SmackDown, Raw, and as well as both nights of Mania. When you're telling the biggest story ever told, and which I've personally said and feel that Cody story is the biggest and greatest story ever told. When you're dealing with such big storylines such as that, with such larger than life characters that involve all Samoan bloodline, as far as The Rock and Roman and the brothers, and then you have Cody Rhodes, and then you have also Paul Heyman in the mix of that. You also have Undertaker and Cena, who showed up, and Seth Rollins playing a part in that role. It was just, I've seen so many different little facts come out about minor details that we could have missed during that event, that is just like, they're taking you back into deep, in-depth storytelling the way we were used to enjoying it. And I think that everybody back there in WWE, as far as the crew, as far as everyone, they should totally be very receptive of their flowers. For having such groundbreaking numbers. And I know you know Nick Khan is a happy man, you know Triple H is a happy man, you know the TKO board are very happy people. Like, you know, it says a lot. And congratulations to us as fans, because we turned that sucker out for real. Whether you were viewing it at home or whether you were there, either way, you were a part of that history.
Yeah, it's gonna be insane. I saw some people talking about some other numbers in the chat, so I want to help out with that. WrestleMania had representation from all 50 U.S. states and 64 different countries. Which is amazing. Amid all of that, this stat right here is probably the stat that I'm just kind of blown away by. As Variety reported, WrestleMania 40 was the most streamed entertainment event in Peacock history. That is mind-blowing when you consider, let's consider that they streamed the Olympics. Let's consider they streamed the Super Bowl. Let's consider all of these things that were being streamed there on Peacock. It's kind of amazing when you consider that. So not just that, so it was viewed for 1.3 billion minutes over the weekend. It's the second biggest usage of Peacock of all time. And it ranked only behind the NFL wildcard game that happened on January 13th and 14th, which is crazy. Here's another interesting factoid for you. Bray Wyatt becoming immortal is now the most viewed original sports WWE documentary through its first 7 days on Peacock, which is crazy.
Wow.
So these numbers that we're seeing, you know, I know, and I'm, you know, there are people who will say things like, you know, well, it's not the Attitude Era. Well, let's just understand. Every single metric we talked about includes besting the Attitude Era. When it's the best of all time, when it's the most money of all time, when it's better than the Attitude Era. Every metric proves that.
I was just going to say, I was just literally going to say really quick. I was just thinking about that. Like, there's no reason to say, oh, this era is the better era, this, that. At this point, that doesn't even matter. We are literally in the cusp and in the beginning of the best era that's about to happen in WWE. And we don't even know it yet. We don't even know how big it's going to get.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. So we've had an amazing, amazing run with all that has happened in terms of WrestleMania. And there are lots of comments here. So let me make sure I get to as many of them as possible. Let me go back to Eric. Eric says, hi, my people. Great week for wrestling on all sides except for Tony Khan. Trust me, we will get to Tony Khan news in just a little bit. Dylan says close to 202,000 people across the entire weekend. That is ticketed. And that's, and I say that specifically because that does not count all of the other events that happened during Mania Week that had major numbers. So yeah, it was crazy. Boza says, look at NXT's portion of Mania. I heard 13,200 tickets were sold, but 16,550 attend. The most fans ever for NXT pay-per-view. You know, what I will say is this. I think sometimes, you know, people kind of get in the weeds when you start talking about tickets sold versus people actually there. So I'll say this for the benefit of it being said. At literally every event imaginable, concerts, you know, sporting events, etc., there's always going to be a thing. I'm taking y'all way in for those who don't know. There's a thing called comp tickets, right? Comp tickets are the tickets that the promoters allow a certain amount of tickets per guest that you're allowed to invite your guests. So, for instance, when Cody had his mom and his wife, they obviously didn't have to pay for tickets, right? So your guests are going to be able to get in free. Now, you don't get to have unlimited guests, obviously, but there's going to be a certain amount of tickets set aside for that. So, you know, if you have allocated, say, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, maybe even 3,000 guest tickets, that takes absolutely nothing away from what was actually sold. So I want us just to be careful about trying to measure tickets sold versus actual attendees, because the truth of it is there's always going to be a scenario with that, because there's always going to be a space to welcome your guests of the people who are performing, and rightfully so. Like, it should not be a scenario where you expect them to pay. So I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that so people understand that kind of going forward. Boza says, I'm surprised Peacock didn't crash at all, given how it was used a lot for this weekend, which says to me that they built that infrastructure really strong. And I'm very proud of them for that. He says, I didn't think the stadium would be big enough to hold all the fans, but it was so cold that it was a drinking game every time on night one when they mentioned how cold it was. Yeah, it was cold, but people came to play. They came to play.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan, this is an interesting comment. WrestleMania was basically a big FU to Vince. They mentioned the weather. They mentioned pro wrestling like it was going out of business, and they said belts. So let me counteract that really quickly. I don't know that it was the, as you said, FU to Vince. I do think it was an establishing of a new regime and making it very clear for the fans. The same fans, and you know, we've had the discussion on here quite a bit for the last year. Is Vince really here? Is Vince really gone? Will he ever really be gone? I really think that this weekend was used to help people answer that question, that he is really gone, that there really is a new era at play, a new vision, and people are running into it. So, you know, think about how much of a concerted effort had been made to refer to WWE over the years as sports entertainment versus pro wrestling. There had been a lot of effort made by that. So to be able to kind of recapture the phrase pro wrestling in WWE is a big deal. And I think there are a lot of things that have been done over the last few months to help people visibly see that Vince McMahon is no longer in power. I don't think it was an F you to him. I think it was far more of a statement that says, this is the new era. And you have to make a statement like that when you consider there's only ever been one man fully in power in this organization. So you do have to, and I think WWE historically has done an amazing job on their branding campaigns. For those who were not around when the name change happened from WWF to WWE, they literally went for a few months, you know, with a, what I guess they call it, a fun campaign saying, get the F out, right? Trying to get people to stop saying WWF and start saying WWE. That is a regular thing that this company does, and they do it very well. But I don't want us to misunderstand what we saw. I do believe that WrestleMania weekend, and at least for the next 3 to 6 months, is going to really help establish what this new era looks like, what the W, and honestly, it started before here. The first time we heard this term new era was back at the WrestleMania kickoff in Vegas. And I'm not sure if people picked up on how often Triple H said that and referenced that. But even the fact that the kickoff was done in Vegas, Super Bowl week, is something that Vince McMahon would have never done. But that also is part of the vision of TKO and that connection to UFC. So hope that answers that. Let's see. Special Little Nobodies. I wonder what kind of numbers the first WrestleMania under the Netflix deal is going to do. Now, that'll be interesting. WrestleMania, certainly in the States, will not be on Netflix, at least for a while. That'll exclusively be Raw. The deal with Peacock is still for a couple of years. So we'll still see WrestleMania there. Though, according to Dylan, WrestleMania was on Netflix in New Zealand. So I don't doubt that. I do know that part of that Netflix deal does involve a lot of the international things ultimately transitioning to Netflix before the U.S. So that's cool. Let's see. Boza, not one bit surprised that Bray Wyatt is the most watched WWE special on Peacock. He was a special soul. He touched everybody. Absolutely. Cousin Ron, good to see you. Always a pleasure. Let's see. Big pop for Stephanie and Brandy. Absolutely. Sports entertainment is pro wrestling and vice versa. The new era, then now forever, or the new then now forever is cinema. Let me tell you something. When Triple H dropped that Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. they actually got a pop at the stadium for that.
I believe it because I, you know, and see, I'm the guy who in the music world, when people actually, before everyone only consumed digital music and we had like CDs, you know, I was the one who read the liner notes and read those deep because that's where you got the real information. Me you know, too. Everybody else is like, who sings a song? I'm like, who produced the song? Who wrote it? Who was the engineer?
What are the lyrics? What is the, I want to see like the details, the production. Yeah, exactly. I used to do the booklets and the CDs all the time.
Yes.
You kids don't know.
And so those kinds of things are the things that I pay a lot of attention to when it comes to wrestling. So, you know, little things like new intros and new camera angles. And listen, there's been a lot of things that have been done, and I'm not sure how often people are catching them, but it's a lot of really good things, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. So then, following WrestleMania, you know, the tradition is, what does the Raw after Mania look like? And after last year's Mania, which, you know, people liked the general consensus was that people liked night one, didn't like night two. They were interested in what Raw after Mania would look like. There were a lot of people who ended up disappointed at that Raw after Mania. This Raw after Mania had an interesting start. Triple H welcoming Cody Rhodes. We then saw the final boss show up, and they had a very interesting segment. Some thought it was too long. Others thought, man, there was a lot that was dropped in there. We saw a lot of things, including two NXT champions showing up. Again, kind of the element of surprise. You don't know who's going to show up. Ilya Dragunov showed up in a banger of a match against Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, it's one of those things I didn't know I needed, but I'm so glad I got. And then we got the women's NXT champion, that being Roxanne Perez, who had just won the title at Stand and Deliver. She got a big win there over Indy Hartwell. We saw John Cena show up to team with the tag team champions, and they defeated the Judgment Day. Jade Cargill gives us her first singles match. A lot of people here have been asking when we would see her first singles match. It ended up being a very quick match against Chelsea Green. And then we found out the number one contender for the new world championship as Jey Uso would win a fatal four-way that included the former champion, Drew McIntyre, who, fell victim to interference from CM Punk. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on the Raw after Mania.
I was actually pretty thoroughly impressed with how much it surprised me. Because I definitely expected to see Cody and a celebration. Mm-hmm. Sure. I was not expecting to see The Rock so soon.
Right.
But, and you know, I understood as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, I know what he's going to do. He's here to make a point because Cody may have pinned Roman, but he didn't pin The Rock. Correct. So that's something that we're going to be getting into. I don't know when this year, but we're going to revisit that. And it kind of gave me, you know, with when he was like, I'm the final boss. And he was like, well, yeah, you are the boss. You're my boss. You're the boss. But that also means I'm the champion. I'm their champion. And that boss means I'm your champion. Mm-hmm. I think we with between Cody and Rock, we could possibly be seeing a new era version of Stone Cold and Vince. Where it's boss versus superstar, and it's going to be a lot of bad blood and a lot of back and forth and a lot of drama. So, but I think it's just a little bit more intensified because even without really being in Hollywood at all, Cody is an amazing actor all on his own. Like, and then obviously you have The Rock, who is Hollywood's biggest star. So that was actually quite shocking. Their story has only begun. Yeah. I was not expecting Ilya Dragunov's music to play when Shinsuke came out. I actually like jumped up out of my seat. I was like, oh, yeah. Well, this is pleasant.
Yes.
This is very pleasant. And then when I got the match, I was like, I want more of that. I want more of that. I need that match again.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure what if they're hinting at something, especially that Ilya got the pin on Shinsuke. And we know Shinsuke has been a very vengeful Shinsuke lately. So could we possibly see him going back to Tuesday and going after Dragunov and that title the same way we saw Roxanne Perez come up and Jade Cargill completely squash Chelsea Green? It was just really cool. And I was not expecting Jey Uso to win, but it seemed like the obvious choice was going to be Drew, being that he just lost his opportunity and this could be another way to gain it. But I could see that this year is going to be the struggle for Drew McIntyre. He's had a great year last year, but this year is the struggle year because he's like at the cusp of reaching what he needs and he had it in his hands. He had it.
Yeah.
And it was taken away from him. And I think it's just going to be a lot of that all year for Drew. And good to see CM Punk back in the fold because, you know, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And for main event Jey Uso to get the rub from him, I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Being that, you know, there's a lot of history with Roman and Punk as opposed to Jey Uso. And now he's aligned with Punk.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly enjoyed the whole evening. And I was very impressed with the surprises because it was like they were more refreshing surprises It wasn't so much of the repetitive surprise, like, oh, I could have predicted this. Oh, sure. Oh, Brock coming after the Raw after Mania. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's something typical like that. But
yeah,
this was a very refreshing, clean slate after Mania. I really like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was fantastic. And it's interesting because the tough part about the Raw after Mania is there is the expectation of surprises. And sometimes our expectations can be so all over the place that we're not sure of what could actually happen. And so it's interesting. Where would the surprises come from? I thought that the NXT surprises were definitely surprises. I did not expect to see any of the NXT champions showing up on Monday Night Raw. So that was significant. And they both got wins, which I thought was also significant. So fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing, obviously, what all of this will mean. We also got a John Cena appearance. We got a Rock appearance. You know, it was wild. And then there was the vignette for Sheamus. So that was kind of cool that we could see Sheamus obviously returning at some point really, really soon. So it's pretty cool. Again, a lot of really cool things happened, I think, on this Raw after Mania, which again was for the most part very celebratory, you know, celebrating all of the new champions for the most part, be that Cody or Sammy, you know, not Drew, but Damian Priest, all things Judgment Day. So a lot of celebratory things happening on Monday Night Raw, which we came to expect, but it was super cool. So there's a lot of there's a lot of comments here that I want to make sure I get to. Let's see. Dylan says the first segment was weird. And several people thought that the first segment was weird. Here's the thing I think about the first segment. Boza says the opening segment was odd. It went on about 50 minutes and we were left on a weird cliffhanger. I think that in a few months, we will find ourselves referencing this first segment and getting a clear understanding of what we saw. I don't think we were supposed to understand everything. There were supposed to be some questions left for us. You know, what did The Rock hand to Cody? What did he mean by "don't break my heart again"? The whole exchange of the belts, you know, which, by the way, you have to admit how wild it is that WWE allowed a non-sanctioned championship belt to be worn prominently by one of its biggest stars, you know, as to not somehow confuse people. I mean, he's literally standing next to Roman. Roman has the WWE championship and The Rock has got this belt that was presented to him at the Hall of Fame induction. Like, what are you going to do with that? You know? So I think it is interesting in terms of the exchange. You know, we could read a couple of things into it. Obviously, The Rock wants to be WWE champion. Cody would still like to be known as the people's champion. And so they both got to hold those belts for a brief moment. What will that mean going forward? That will be interesting. Will The Rock be pursuing the WWE championship at some point in the future? Perhaps as early as maybe SummerSlam. Who knows? We'll see. But I think there were a lot of questions intentionally left for us. This is, again, part of the new era of storytelling that I think we're going to see. And we'll have to reference this at some point. And I like the fact that we can't quite figure it out. I think that's a good thing. Some of the other things that are talked about. Special Little Nobody says the exchange of the belts was a callback to a segment that Rock and Cody did back in the day. Okay. Huh. That's kind of cool. I have to go back and look for that particular segment because I don't remember it off the top of my head, but that's cool. There was also some talk, according to Boza, and I did see some of this, about Jade Cargill's singles debut. It was basically an AEW squash, but to be honest, I thought Chelsea Green did a good job of making Jade look good. For one, I think, and I saw some of the backlash too. I will say, I think again, there's a reason why the people in the position to book the show, and why the people who purchase tickets to watch the show purchase tickets to watch the show. Not a knock to anybody, but I think that there are always the armchair quarterbacks who could swear up and down that they could do it better, you know? But I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. In terms of Jade Cargill, she has been presented as a powerhouse everywhere she goes. Why would you expect Jade Cargill to have a 30-minute match? What that doesn't make any sense. Jade Cargill is a powerhouse, you know? Male powerhouses, you don't expect to have 30-minute matches, you know? So there's that. And in terms of, and I want to say this, and I want to say this as respectfully as I can. At some point, we have to actually acknowledge the work that Jade Cargill has done. You know, to hear people saying, well, so-and-so made her look good, and so-and-so made this one. How long are we going to keep saying that? Like that, I think that's kind of unfair to Jade. I feel like in the sport of pro wrestling, everybody has a part to play. Just like with a team, you know, everybody can't have the game-winning play, you know, and everybody's not going to be. So Chelsea Green's role has never been to be the dominant pro wrestler. She's fun. She's entertaining. And sometimes that fun and entertainment turns into wins. Sometimes it turns into championships. Sometimes it turns into the butt of a joke. But that's the part that she plays. Her playing that part well should not negate Jade playing her part well. Because we have seen, and maybe I should call up a name like Gable Steveson, right? Someone who has the credentials, someone who has the look, someone who even had the great dance partner, but couldn't pull it off. Everybody has to be able to play their role. And so I think we can say Chelsea played her role well and Jade played her role well. Instead of saying one made the other look good. They both had a job to do, and I think they both did their job expertly, and they did it in the amount of time that was necessary to do. So I just want to, I'm going to be very big on making sure we honor and respect the roles that everybody's playing and not downplay somebody who doesn't deserve that at all. With that said, I do think it's really cool that we got her singles debut the night after Mania. Yeah. I did not expect that, considering that she is officially a SmackDown superstar. So that's pretty awesome. And let's see. Dylan said, is Gable Steveson a thing? I think that would be a no. I don't think he's a thing anymore.
I do know something that is a thing.
Yes.
That we forgot to mention that happened on Raw, but not necessarily on Raw. Apparently it was during commercial.
Okay.
Apparently the rabbit hole has entered the chat.
So it's funny you say that, because I saw that that also happened right before SmackDown started as well. Mm-hmm. So we are in the era of at some point getting the re-debut of whatever the brainchild of Bray Wyatt is. It's been a week now, so I guess it's safe to talk about, a week and a half now. If you've watched Bray Wyatt's documentary, which was incredibly powerful, at the very end, which is something that they don't normally do in these documentaries, at the very end, we got quite the Easter egg, which signified that at some point, we will be seeing a continuation of what Bray created. And that is exciting to me. It's exciting. I don't know how it's going to show up. I don't know when it's going to show up. But I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be very, very good. So looking forward to that as all. Anthony, welcome to the party here. Anthony says, some people would criticize Jade until she has her first big challenge. Have patience, Jade. We'll show her talents and her dominance soon. Again, I say If she wasn't prepared for WrestleMania, they would not have given her that massive stage. And speaking of that, Dylan says, can we acknowledge that WrestleMania Beyonce concert entrance? Let me tell you, it was a thing of beauty. It was absolutely a thing of beauty. And I just think that the fact that they were able to pull that off is epic. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. It is really, really.
It was definitely given the Destiny's Child, Destiny Fulfilled reunion tour, like when they all popped up from each thing. But I couldn't really see it from where I was at. But when I came back home and I rewatched all the entrances just to see how well it was like filmed and how well they produced it.
Yeah.
Those girls look so damn good and they look so phenomenal and they look so strong and just beautiful, strong, melanated women. And we are all here for it. And I can't wait to see more.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Boza. Chef's kiss to the big three. Absolutely flawless. It was fantastic. And so the fallout from WrestleMania continues with NXT last night. And kind of one of the shockers was at the end of the show where we've got new tag team champions. Axiom and Nathan Fraser defeat the Wolf Dogs to become the tag team champions. So before we talk about what happened after NXT went off the air, what did you think, honey, about this match? And do you think there's a specific reason why this result happened on NXT and not at Stand and Deliver?
I definitely think it was inevitable for one, for these two. They've been going at it for a while now and consistently winning for weeks at a time on NXT. And, you know, they've overcome quite the challenge. I think they are very, at first I wasn't really sold on the team, but with them being as consistent as they've been the last few weeks in NXT, they've totally convinced me. And they have very similar styles. I love that their styles are similar, but yet where they're from and how they wrestle is very diverse. Mm-hmm. I definitely expected this because we all know Bron Breakker is moving on up. It does make me wonder what they're going to do with Corbin now and how they book him going forward in the future. Because I do kind of worry about Corbin a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because you don't want somebody like him to get lost in the shuffle, especially when he's such an NXT legend. So I totally think that the Wolf Dogs, when they started making it a little bit more dramatized with this will be their last time teaming together, I was like, oh, okay, no, they're going to win this. Mm-hmm. And then the Wolf Dogs, they're going to separate however they separate them. And then Bron Breakker is going to move on up, which is exactly what happened. And congratulations to Frazier and Axiom. They definitely deserve it and definitely have earned it.
Absolutely. They kind of remind me of a team that some may or may not remember, former SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Brian Kendrick and Paul London.
Oh, yes.
A very fast-paced, acrobatic kind of tag team, yes. Which, you know, highlight reels for days. And I think Axiom and Fraser, who have been doing an amazing job, I think this is awesome that this is their first bit of NXT gold. I'm really looking forward to that. Now, we'll talk about what happened after this in a little bit. Some other things that happened at NXT last night, which were very interesting. We got the debut of Javon Evans, who was known on the indie circuit as Jay Malachi. What a presentation. 19 years old, battled Scripps in his debut. He's been lighting it up, by the way, on Level Up. And so for him to get this opportunity this soon is amazing. Cheap plug. I've had a chance to work with him over the last couple of years as well. And he's a star. He's an absolute star. And so to see him doing incredible things. Matter of fact, he kind of came and surprised us at the last Ashe show and we had a chance to talk. And I'm very, very proud of what he is doing. So Javon Evans, you're going to see things from him like you've never, ever seen before. And we talk about the future of the business. 19. Can you imagine being 19 years old and you're on national television?
Right. just on your amazing. First go, on your debut go around national right. TV, boom, spotlight.
I mean, he's ready. He's ready.
I enjoyed watching him. I was like, oh, I want to see more of this. This is what yeah. I want to see. If they could try to like probably put him in, I mean, maybe it might be a little too late, but if they had put him in time, had him put in the speed competition, I think that would be saying a lot for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be actually very good for that speed show.
And Scripps was good. I believe Scripps was the right guy too. Because a lot of what he was doing reminded me of what Reggie did in mm-hmm. WWE and how, you yes. know, because a lot of people I think slept on Scripps mm-hmm. and Reggie, AKA whatever you want to call him, because of his athleticism and his agility and his, you know, his athleticism as far as like how he could flip and how he could do crazy stunts and different things like that. I totally yeah. see a lot of that in yeah. this young man. He was really brilliant last night to watch.
It was absolutely fantastic. He is indeed the young OG, and that's how he was known on the indies as well. And so it's really cool that he gets to bring that particular moniker and nickname with him. We also saw a women's title match last night as Natalya showed up to battle for the NXT Women's Championship against Roxanne Perez. And with some interference from Lola Vice, we saw Roxanne retain. I'm sure somewhere said is very, very happy that Lola is back on television, involved in the things for sure. We also saw Jada Parker get a big victory last night representing OTM. And so much happened last night. And so after the show went off the air, Bron Breakker officially said goodbye to NXT. So it seems very clear that he will now fully embrace his role on SmackDown, which I think should be very interesting. We also found out last night that Trick Williams will be getting a shot at the NXT Championship against Ilya Dragunov. That happens in 2 weeks' time. And there's a very interesting stipulation connected to this one. If Trick Williams loses this match, he has to leave NXT, which I think is interesting. And then as soon as he says yes, here comes, of course, geez, it's kind of amazing how all this went down. Carmelo Hayes shows up. And then says right there while he's beating down Trick Williams, I'll see you next week in a cage match. So we've got a cage match happening next week. I'm actually shocked that we're going to get to see these two battling again so soon. This is probably the stipulation that a lot of people were looking for at Stand and Deliver. But this cage match is happening. Let me ask you, honey, with a cage match happening next week, in 2 weeks, Trick Williams fighting for the NXT Championship, where if he loses, he's gone. Does Trick Williams become our new champion, or does he have to leave NXT and perhaps head up for the draft?
Well, I definitely believe that he has a lot more to prove now, because mm-hmm. the stakes have been raised a long way from what it was in Stand and Deliver. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was just expecting to go right for his title shot and get it. I kind of like this for him, because I just want to see Trick Williams dig himself out of the dirt and come out, you know, blooming out of mm-hmm. all of this. So I definitely think that we could possibly be crowning a new champion, because it would probably make room for Ilya Dragunov to leave mm-hmm. NXT, especially with the fact that he has a win over Shinsuke. So I feel like it would make more sense to see. So I guess like what happened this past Monday on Raw were Easter eggs and you know, things that we could be seeing in the future. So kudos to Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, and even Ilya Dragunov, if that is a possibility for them to move on up to the roster. But if Trick is unsuccessful, there's always the draft. And there's a lot of opportunity ahead for that young man. So no matter what, I think he's going to be all right.
So we've got lots of comments, of course, over here. Dylan is saying Ilya declared for the draft, right? No, he didn't exactly declare for the draft. Mm-hmm. He did not do that. He was just on Monday Night Raw. Boza says, I think Trick wins the NXT championship. Dylan says Mello wins the cage match and then Trick whips Ilya. Eric says Trick is the next NXT champion in 2 weeks. Special Little Nobody says, I like how Javon uses his aerial moves for violence like Ospreay does, and not just for the spectacle of the moves. I like that too. Boza says, I could see Mello winning the cage match and Trick getting the title to set up their trilogy at Battleground. So lots of interesting ideas here in terms of what could happen here at NXT Battleground, and not Battleground, at NXT Spring, what is it, Spring Outbreak?
Spring Breaking.
Spring Breaking. Okay. Spring Breaking, Breakout. But I've got to get my names right. But since we mentioned, since we mentioned it, the draft, again, we have official word. It will begin on Friday, April the 26th on Fox. It'll continue on Monday, April the 29th. So since, of course, we saw these NXT champions show up on Raw, we now know for sure that Braun will be, well, I say for sure, but for sure is relative. I mean, like, he signed to be a SmackDown star, but that certainly could change come the draft. We'll do some full draft predictions as we get closer. But here's my one question to you and to everyone in the chat as well. Who from NXT do you think gets drafted to Raw or SmackDown? Who would be your top three picks from NXT to head to Raw or SmackDown?
Top three picks. Okay. I mean, there's the obvious ones, and then there's ones that I could imagine possibly moving up.
Okay.
You got the obvious, which is Breaker. Mello's a possibility. I also believe, I mean, Roxanne's still holding on to the belt. You know, she has the belt right now. I mean, there's nothing that is set in stone as far as her title reign going forward, because she just beat Natty. Which honestly I thought was really crazy, because if Natty would have won, that would have been her first time winning NXT champion. And right. We'd be having a whole different conversation right now. And I'd probably say Roxanne is moving up. I could definitely see Cora Jade moving up to Raw or SmackDown when she returns, whenever she's ready to return. And I don't know, I'm thinking of one more. I'm just trying to think of all the storylines. I mean, why not Trick Williams if he loses? Why not Trick Williams? I think everybody's more than familiar with him now than they were before when he first showed up on SmackDown. I would really like to see him just completely go on the chase and keep harassing Carmelo Hayes and chasing him down and just keep whipping him and whipping him and whooping that Trick all over every single roster date that there is, you know. I think that's something that a lot of people would like to see, because that's a, I think that's a rivalry that nobody would really get tired of. They're just a couple. They're just those, to name a few, for sure.
I think it will get interesting. Here's what I also think is interesting, because there's a lot of talk about this already in the chat. Some think that Lyra Valkyria is one that should move up. I definitely think she'd be a good one. Boza says, I don't think any champions would be drafted. That was weird last year with the NXT Women's Championship. Well, there's plenty of precedence for an NXT champion to be drafted to Raw or SmackDown. Last year, of course, was Indy Hartwell, literally right after winning the title at Stand and Deliver. I think kind of the thought process around moving people to Raw or SmackDown ultimately is, are they ready? You know, are they ready, and have they demonstrated that level of readiness, champion or not? Now, there's a part of me that wonders if, you know, what's scheduled to happen at a Spring Breakout in 2 weeks is to potentially get the title off of Ilya, or Spring Break In, or Break, whatever the break is. Spring Break. It makes me wonder if the whole idea is to get the title off of Ilya to free him for the draft, which I think is possible. We don't currently know who would be battling Roxanne for that title, if that's the case.
Maybe Julia, being that she's newly signed to NXT.
Well, that would be interesting. We haven't had the official debut of Julia, but of course her showing up at Stand and Deliver is a big sign. So I think we've got some interesting prospects. And one of the things that always tends to happen is we get surprised by some of the people that get the call up from NXT. And I'll tell you, kind of interesting, you know, think about it. Last year, they had Grayson Waller get the call up. And, you know, here it is. Now he is a SmackDown Tag Team Champion. The flip side to it is we saw Odyssey Jones get the call up, and he's never been on television. He's been out injured, and now he's been doing appearances here and there. So it'll be interesting to see how deep they go into the NXT roster to be able to draft some people. We'll see. Part of me wonders, you know, could a Fallon Henley find her way on Raw or SmackDown? So Lola, I think it'll be very interesting.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Lola Vice or Jada Parker would make Zed very happy.
Oh, that would make him extremely happy. Though I think I think they both still have some things to do in NXT, definitely, especially with this North American Championship being there. Okay, so let's see some of the comments. I don't think Roxanne is moving. She needs to be beaten for the NXT Women's Championship. They wouldn't put the title back on her after the story of her never being beaten for the title. But see, last night, Boza, she said the only way the title is coming off of her is when she gets drafted. So that kind of throws a wrench in that theory there, which would allow her to be able to say she's never been beaten for the NXT Women's Championship.
Again.
So that's a thing. Special to Nobody says, I think Trick could be one of the stars they use to kick off NXT's debut on CW. I actually believe that that's the case. Julia can't debut until early May since she's got a NOAH date the first week in May. I don't know that that's necessarily true. Let's remember, a WWE contracted star showed up in NOAH. Matter of fact, two of them did. There was Shinsuke Nakamura at the top of the year last year, did that for the Great Muta's final match. And then earlier this year, it's a couple of months ago, in All Japan, there was Charlie Dempsey who showed up over there. So remember, the rules have changed, folks. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that being shown in that case. They had 19 names that were called up. It'll be interesting who gets sent to NXT. And I'll say this too. That's one thing. Oh, I had a graphic for that, and I did not mention that. I want to be careful in terminologies in terms of saying sent down to NXT. I know we say call ups, and I think NXT is its own third brand that has a specific purpose for people who may have already been on Raw and SmackDown. And one of those that was proven, I think, last night was the Final Testament showing up. I loved this. What did you think about this move, honey?
Oh, yes. I absolutely thought this was like a checkmate move. Mm-hmm. For Triple H and Shawn. Mm-hmm. I think it was very smart because it was obvious that, you know, Cross wasn't getting a lot of love on the main roster. People didn't really understand it. A lot of people would blame so many different situations and so many different people and scenarios as to why there wasn't so much going on, mm-hmm. and so much heat on behind Cross or any push behind Cross. Yeah. He's a former NXT champion 2 times. Mm-hmm. He's also conquered pretty much a lot of people on that NXT roster. This makes him look like an absolute legend being there. Yeah. And Scarlett as well, being mm-hmm. that we've been seeing her in ring gear a lot. I'm wondering if we're going to see her possibly snatch some gold or probably get some matchups going on. And I think she should, because from the beginning, when they called them up to the main roster, I feel like, yes, the Fallen Prey, the gimmick, their entrance, all of that stuff was perfect. It did mm-hmm. what it needed to do. But it just was not being pushed well enough, mm-hmm. and Scarlett wasn't being pushed as a wrestler as much as she was just a valet, and she's more than that. She's so much more than that. She's the smoke show, and everybody knows, and especially in indie wrestling, knows mm-hmm. how well she can go and work in that ring. Because I've seen many a match of Scarlett messing all kinds of people up, including men mm-hmm. in the ring. Mm-hmm. She's not one to play with, and I think it also helps Cross in the long run too, because he's at a place where people he's in the brand that people understand and remember his reign and remember how well he was, and AOP as mm-hmm. well, former mm-hmm. tag champions.
That's right.
They conquered the whole tag team roster. When you're looking at guys like American Alpha, you know, the American Alpha and DIY and Undisputed Era and all these other tag teams. So you want to talk about taking it back to the black and gold. This is exactly what we're doing. And I think that was definitely like the perfect chess move, because once I saw their music pop up, I jumped out of my seat for that too. Yeah. And I was like, this is so great. And this is perfect for Cross. I'm totally on board with it. And I am in total agreement with it.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. One of the cool things that I think has happened is some of the music for some of the people that have been showing up is not as immediately recognizable. So I know for me, it took a little while to figure out, okay, who's who in the zoo. And then when you see them, it's like, oh, wow, this is really good. Yes. So I love this idea of the Final Testament being over in NXT. I think it's a great, great moment for them. And Syndeel is back. Welcome back, Syndeel. Good to have you back. Yes, Charlie Dempsey mentioned Bloodsport on NXT, which is, again, this new era that we're in. I think that's absolutely, absolutely crazy. So, yeah, lots of fun things to look forward to in terms of WWE. Now, we talked about star-making performances over the weekend, and there were a lot of them. But one of the stars that people are talking about that I don't know people thought would become a star is this woman, Samantha Irvin, who, if you guys missed it, she attended Wale Mania. And while she was at Wale Mania, she was advised by Michael Cole not to sing because she was doing the ring announcing for both days of WrestleMania. She sung anyway. She played her flute, did it to a remake of the theme song for Razor Ramon called Bad Guy. Brilliant track. And then, of course, all of the things that she did at WrestleMania, which was amazing. And then there's been interesting fallout from this. There have been some who have been vocal saying they like it, they don't like it. One of the people who said that they don't like it is a former referee at WWE, Brian Heppner. And his words, well, I'll just tell you what his words are. His words were, quote, "The announcing is driving me insane. I'm sure she's a nice and beautiful person, but her voice and trying to overdo things is literally making me use my mute button more than ever, like nails on a chalkboard." Now, you have that from a referee. Then there is arguably the greatest announcer of all time in any sport, and that, of course, is the great Michael Buffer. Here's what Michael Buffer had to say. He said, and he put this on X, that Samantha Irvin ruled WrestleMania and her emotional final announcement was awesome. She was featured on camera ring center. That was a smart production move. And she was just brilliant. Her timing, pace, drama, energy was perfect. So this feels like a rhetorical question. But whose opinion matters to you the most? The ex-referee or the award-winning ring announcer?
Well, I think it's obvious that it would have to go to the award-winning ring announcer, because that is the person who has the most experience in doing such things. And he's made a living off of doing just that, announcing. So, of course, Michael Buffer would be correct in my opinion. Brian Heppner, I apologize ahead of time, but you just sound like a hater, or you just sound like you just looking for anything to nitpick at. Because if you feel the need to nitpick this woman, you got another thing coming. Because she has been, if there's anybody who deserves a first ballot Hall of Fame for in-ring announcer, it is definitely Samantha Irvin. She has absolutely killed it since she's come into this business, and she's talented. She's a musician, she's an artist, she's a performer. And I think that and not to mention she's a Black woman as well, and that's something that has to be acknowledged, because she's a Black queen ring announcer, you know, mm-hmm. to where the likes you have also Lillian Garcia, who is a Hispanic ring announcer. She was just as good, just the same. But I would surpass Samantha Irwin across the board and give her a ring now for announcing, because she has absolutely done a phenomenal job. She makes you feel it. One of my mm-hmm. favorite, and I love to hear her voice live. One of my mm-hmm. favorite announcements that she does is Gunther.
Yes,
it's just so strong, and it's just so dramatic, and it's just so mm-hmm. theatrical. And she looks the part. She looks well every week. Yeah. She's just on point with it. She sounds on point. She's just. How could you hate on this woman or anything about her announcing, especially the effort that she puts into it in the main event of WrestleMania? She killed all the announcements, and the, mm-hmm. you know, from her pace, as Michael Buffer said, from her dramatization and the way she looks, and she makes the wrestlers feel it, you know, and she makes the fans feel it. Like, I'm not sure how he could say such a thing like that, but, you know, he sounds like an absolute washed hater for me personally. Don't come at Samantha Irwin, because we will fight you.
Yeah, I you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, sometimes people are unable to hide whatever their personal biases are mm-hmm. when success shows up in a package that they don't appreciate.
Right.
I'm sure there were a lot of people,
or that they're not a part of.
Exactly. I'm sure a lot of people were upset because Black women did all of the ring announcing for WWE events this weekend.
And killed it.
Whether it was Alicia Taylor over in NXT, Stand and Deliver, who crushes it. Samantha Irvin, who crushed it. And I want to be clear, you know, WrestleMania is supposed to be the place where the best of the best shine and show up.
Absolutely.
And the idea that Mike Rome, who does a fantastic job,
yes.
and I think in any other space and time would have had his opportunity to shine at this WrestleMania, it's a new era. And in this new era, the cream of the crop rise to the top. And I think seeing Samantha Irvin, seeing Alicia Taylor in these spaces is massive. And what I love about what Samantha does, Alicia does this as well, you know, their announcements are things that you can remember, the yeah. way they present, and they're both unique in how they do that. It is important. Let me remind people of something also, which we don't think about. I talked earlier about how each part is to be played to make the whole product work. And what's so powerful to me is you don't realize how things like ring announcing and commentary can sway your presentation of something, but they do. And to me, what happened at WrestleMania is a prime example of that. Whether it was Samantha's incredible ring announcing, such that in the main event both nights, the participants are just in it with her. Like, that's one thing. The yeah. other side to it, which I think is amazing, is that street fight that happened at WrestleMania. Without commentary, it looks, you know, pretty tough. With commentary, it feels like a comedy show because of Snoop. And I don't knock Snoop, but it just goes to show how those elements really will shape how you view and receive a presentation. To that end, Brian Heppner, if you don't like it, it's okay. There's other wrestling for you to watch, because apparently a lot of other people did. It's why it's the most streamed live event in Peacock history. It's why it's made the most money in WrestleMania history. So relax, sir. There's something else for you to get upset at. Maybe, just maybe, he'll find himself getting upset at some of the other news that's going on in the pro wrestling world. And it's kind of crazy that we'll talk about this at this particular point, but some of us didn't realize that this happened WrestleMania weekend. But I was shocked when I found out on Sunday and Monday that apparently tonight on AEW Dynamite, the Young Bucks are going to present backstage footage from this confrontation that happened at All In between Jack Perry and CM Punk. And there have been a lot of questions where, you know, like, are we really going to see the footage? Are they just kind of pulling a bait and switch on us? Tony Khan was quoted on Sports Illustrated saying, when we promise something, we deliver. We are absolutely showing this. I want to ask you, and I want to ask the chat as well, is there any possible merit to be gained for AEW showing this footage?
It may have possible merit, but not anything credible. I feel like it's just messy to do something like this. I think you guys should just focus on the product that you have at hand and turn it into making something of it the way you have started since Revolution was such a success. I think they should just be focusing on going forward instead of focusing on the past, which is usually where people always get it wrong. Because you focus more on the past, you're going to end up living there for a long time. I'm not sure what is to be gained of this. I'm not sure how they're allowed to even put this out with the permission of CM Punk and everything like that. I mean, I know he has nothing to do with the company anymore, but it can't be a good feeling for him to know that this is going to be out there. Because if unless they're doing this for like a bait and switch, I'm not sure I see what the point of this is. I don't think it's something that should happen, to be honest. I think it's just something that they should just learn to let go and stop being a little hurt in certain places. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's anything to be gained from this. But I do think that they're definitely doing this because they know they're not going to get as much viewership, as much WWE achieved this weekend with WrestleMania. I'm not sure how this could even outdo something like that, which we know it won't. So I don't even know why they bother trying. They should just try to they should just keep trying to outdo themselves and stop competing with other promotions. Because at the end of the day, us as the fans, for those who truly know, we're the ones winning because we have so much wrestling and so much content to absorb.
Yeah.
But you're not making the situation any helpful for fans, because this is just for the petty, messy reality TV like fans. You're bringing it back to you're bringing it back to something that it shouldn't be. And if especially when you had Sting retire a month ago, you would definitely need to up the ante going forward. This isn't doing it for me. This isn't working. I don't think it's gonna work. I'm gonna tune in probably. But because I'm curious, but I just don't think that regardless of how it's viewed or how many viewerships they get, it's not something to be looked at as like a successful thing. Like, I don't think it's something to brag or boast about. And it's not going to give them anything credible for their material.
You know, part of what concerns me, and I don't think that this is something that is necessarily understood by Mr. Khan. Tony Khan, that is. I don't think he understands that the bulk of wrestling fans are actually not in the internet wrestling community. So trying to base a lot of things on what happens on the internet is not a wise move. You know, last week was honestly enough by starting the show and having Adam Copeland come out and talk about how AEW is such a great place to work. And you could have left it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even that was a bit over the top, because why do the fans care if AEW is a great place to work? They're not applying for jobs at this company.
Right.
So, you know, trying to, you know, that doesn't accomplish anything. People. Okay. So let me say it this way. It's the challenge of, you know, let's go back to the music references. Fans aren't always concerned with what happens in the personal lives of these artists. They just want you to produce good music. produce good music and keep on, you know, running. And I think in this space, you know, first of all, the reason that this seems pointless is neither CM Punk or Jack Perry work at AEW right now. Neither of them are on their television screens. They're both operating in different companies. So why there is a need to, and here's the thing, CM Punk is living a good life. He's in at WrestleMania. He's doing Make-A-Wish. Like, he's good. Jack Perry has found, you know, some good fortunes over in New Japan. He's getting ready for a great show. This is a bad move. And no matter what gets shown tonight, whether it's the actual footage, whether it's doctored footage, whether it is, you know, a bait and switch, this is a bad move. And it says to me that there's not the confidence in the wrestlers in their company and the product that they have to be able to just put out a good show without this kind of thing dominating the headlines. It's unfortunate because you've got a tag team title tournament where you're about to crown a new champion, a new tag team champion. You've got Swerve finally getting a shot at the world title at a pay-per-view that's happening in 10 days. Why are we not focused on that as opposed to footage from a pay-per-view that was months ago?
It's so messy. It's like, it's almost like Love and Hip Hop. Like, it's like, yeah. Young Bucks. It's like Young Bucks and Tony Khan are there. They didn't have the testicular fortitude, as Mick Foley says, to release all that information while Jack Perry and CM Punk were there. But now that they're gone and moved on, they deem it necessary to do it without them being there. It's like you wait for the person to leave to talk all the mess about them after they leave behind their back instead of saying it to their face the way you're supposed to.
It's equally interesting because if you feel the need to promote somebody who's not in your company anymore, it clearly says that you believe in their level of popularity. You know, it's kind of like when and this is not a knock. I thought this was a brilliant move by TNA. When last week Becky was in her rounds of interviews and she said that, you know, she was hoping at one point to possibly get into TNA because of how they treated women's wrestlers, TNA grabbed that clip and posted it because they understood how important and how popular Becky Lynch is. I just wonder, you know, I it's just a bad move. And I just hope that AEW doesn't derail its own momentum with a move like this, particularly when you have EVPs. Here's, you know what would be smart? This is what would be smart. If AEW this weekend, if AEW tonight congratulated Cody Rhodes on becoming the world champion, that would be a classy move. That would be a brilliant move. WWE congratulated Sting on his final match publicly on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
I think that would be a brilliant move. And I think that would be a far better move than actually going through with airing this footage from All In. But we'll see what happens.
There's a certain level of class and sportsmanship that you should show. Because even though you are competing promotions, you're all still working for the same thing. You're putting out professional wrestling product.
Considering that a number of those stars were showing up at WrestleMania.
Right.
So there's that. Other things that are actually happening tonight on Dynamite, for those who are interested, there's a trios match. Hook, Chris Jericho, and Katsuyori Shibata. What an interesting team this is. Against Shane Taylor Promotions, which now has the addition of Anthony Ogogo. I'm actually pretty interested in seeing what STP does in this match. Also, tonight will be a championship toast from Timeless Toni Storm to Thunder Rosa. That should be interesting. And then I find this to be incredibly interesting on the heels of WrestleMania. Samoa Joe has a championship eliminator match against Dustin Rhodes. Huh. I just think that's really interesting.
Huh.
Considering we haven't seen much of Dustin Rhodes on television in AEW, I think we all can figure out why this particular match is happening. And if they're smart, in this match, they will reference Cody finishing his story, winning a world title. Can Dustin position himself the same way? That's what you do and make this really classy. If you miss that moment, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
I had, it's so funny. We were at Ring of Honor. Somebody had, or somebody I was talking to, I forgot who I was talking to, but it was like, he's like that Tony, they said they referenced Tony Khan, like that friend who's like a pretty, like a bit of a, I don't want to like use like terrible terms. So forgive me all, but this is how the person said it. She's like, he's more like a nerd. And you know, who wants you to be his friend. So he's like, here, I have money, be my friend. Like it, he comes off like that. And so it's just like, you know, now what you're trying to do is stay relevant, being the fact that WWE product and WrestleMania has completely overshadowed a lot of your things. And that's nothing for you to be mad about. You should be able to capitalize on that and use it like the way we do and you know, promote what's trending and at least congratulate, you know, your peers. You got to do right. that. But we'll see where they go with it.
We certainly will. So again, Dynamite kicks off at the top of the hour. I'm sure there will be plenty to talk about coming out of that. So then, there's more to talk about, but we'll get to some of that on Friday. We've held you guys plenty long. Honey, how could the people find you on the social spaces?
Good people could find me here Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays with the WWT Live crew. You could also find me this Friday. Honey, SmackDown watch-alongs will be returning. I've missed you guys, and, you know, I was gone for a minute. Now I'm back with the jump off. Also catch my Honey Pop predictions on my socials, Instagram and TikTok, Wrestling with Honey, Facebook Wrestling W Honey. And don't forget to like and subscribe. The new YouTube page is going to be coming out real soon, the Wrestling with Honey podcast.
And make sure you guys are checking out her content as well. Some great, great recaps of all of the things that happened at Mania Week. And she put in a lot of work. So you guys make sure you go and check that out. Of course, you guys can find me at Bonafide on all of the socials. What's happening with me? Let's see. There's always content that you guys can check out. You can check out my commentary work with SHW, that's Southern Honor Wrestling, and IWE. You can check that out on IWTV. You can check out my work with the Nightmare Factory on their YouTube page. You can also check out my work with All Caribbean Wrestling on their YouTube page as well. And we've got some interesting things that we're cooking up with All Caribbean Wrestling that you guys will be able to check out really soon. You can check out my work with Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling on the YouTube page as well. As well as my work with Ashe Wrestling. We've got another big show coming up on April the 19th. That's a week from this Friday. And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for Ashe Cosmos. Should be fantastic. Of course, you can check me out here as part of WWT Live. And speaking of WWT Live, it is part of Women's Wrestling Talk. You can follow us on the socials at WW Talk Pod. All kinds of things that are happening there, including obviously great Mania coverage, which you can find at our website as well, www.talkpod.com. So many of you joined us today, and we appreciate you, Anthony and Dylan and Cindy and Boza and Eric and Cousin Ron and Special Little Nobodies and Barry Monkey. I see you there. And who else? Matt Spano and Eric. And I think I hit almost everybody. This chat was popping, and we love to see that happening. We will be back on Friday, but there's some other things that are cooking up here at Women's Wrestling Talk. So you guys are going to want to make sure that you are checking it out, because we are the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms. Like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.